everybody. Welcome to another edition of Double Cross Radio featuring Chuck Horton and Drew Lamb. I'm Chuck, and my partner is Drew. Drew, good evening.
Hey, Chuck. How's it going?
It's going very great. I'm having a really exciting week, but we have an even more exciting show tonight, so it's...
Well, you're officially out of pseudo-retirement now.
Yeah, I came off... They called me off the retired list, and so I've... We're seeing if I'm going to be able to perform in this. It's actually kind of a interesting job. It's there's a lot more to this than people see. You have to manage a really expensive inventory that you don't own, the people that own it expect to have daily information on it to make sure that you're doing the right thing with their stuff and. Well,
For an anarchist, you've got the most statist business I could possibly imagine.
Well, there might be a few more if I got paid by the government, but I guess I am indirectly being paid by them. But it's I figure if someone was going to have this job, it should be somebody who's least liberty minded, so that the money doesn't go to a statist.
Yeah, well. It
sounds like a rationalization, and it is, but that's the best I can do.
If this will leverage you into a full agorist lifestyle later on, then there you go.
Well, that's the plan. And maybe a full agorist lifestyle out of country. So it depends on, you know, the things on our show tonight. Some really interesting topics to talk about, but the main thing that's really, for us, it's been like top of the news because the news sources that we listen to or some of them that we listen to, regrettably not, hasn't been very much coverage of this, but there's still Tom Woods had a great interview with somebody that's covering it. I think last name was Freeman. I don't remember his first name. Was Jeff Freeman? Anyway, he was a freedom activist.
Derek Freeman.
Derek Freeman. And we posted that a couple times on our Facebook page. It's an awesome interview. I've listened to it about five times.
Yeah, I think we both posted it.
I think you got it both times.
Yeah, I might have posted it twice on accident.
No, that's okay. I think it might be something you should be pinned to the top. I mean, this is just a...
I'll pin it right now.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And we're also going to be talking a little bit about the movie The Princess Bride. And that's directly connected to this trial that's going on with Ross Ulbricht. We're going to be talking a little bit about last week's show. I have some other comments. I know that I alienated a couple listeners with some of my comments. They weren't well thought out. Sometimes I say things and I'm trying to... To make a phrase, I say something that means different than what I meant to say, and that was the case last week. And the people, I really congratulate whoever it was, and it was somebody in chat who just got really upset with it. But his meaning that he took probably is what I said, but it wasn't what I meant. So I apologize for my lack of communication skills. But we want to clear that up, and I think it also connects to this story about Ross Ulbricht too. I hope to be able to tie those two together. And we have, there's a lot of I wouldn't know if it's really called how to describe it. It's maybe uncertainty in the economic world as to what's going on. And there's I don't think the basic fundamentals of our economy have changed from last year. It seems like it's a little bit better to me in Southern Oregon, but it's not much. And I think that almost all the quote-unquote prosperity is just coming from a reduction in the price of oil. So people have a little bit more spendable income. They feel like they're rich again. I don't know if that's true. If that's just a manipulation, it could go right back where it goes. If it's just something that's being done as an act of war to hurt Russia and Putin, don't count on it staying down there very long. You better use this opportunity to pay off your debts. Don't go out there and get in debt more. That's a wrong thing to do.
So are we digging into this topic, or are we introducing the topic?
I think we should get into Russ Ulbricht's trial because that's the most important one.
All right.
And we might be able to talk a whole hour just on that, and then we'll have to put this other stuff on next week or something. I imagine that some of you don't have any idea who Russ Ulbricht is and what the Silk Road was, because you're kind of like me, you're sheltered, you're not involved in things that could possibly get you in jail. I'm talking about unlicensed drugs. I'm not going to call them illegal because I don't think there's any crime involved. But Russ Ulbricht was arrested in either late September or early October 2013, and for some reason the exact date isn't known. I think that in itself speaks volumes. He was probably just taken and put in a cell for 72 hours. They can hold someone for 72 hours. And then they finally decided they had something. They had to arrest, charge him with something or let him go. And so they charged him with something. And it's just from there on, the story becomes just incredibly unbelievable. But it is believable. It's actually happened. It's the truth. And it's beyond comprehension. This is tyranny in its finest moment, if there could be such a thing. I don't mean that the tyranny is a fine thing. I mean that this is exactly what tyranny is. When laws can be arbitrarily twisted and manipulated to punish somebody who is only serving his fellow man by offering them something in voluntary exchange for something that he wants, something they want. It just seems perfectly legitimate to me. So Drew, I'll let you kind of give your synopsis, and then maybe we can get into some of these details.
Yeah, and I just want to let everybody know that phones are open. If anybody wants to call in and make some comments tonight, the call-in number is 1-718-717-8296. And let's stick to the topic at hand if you want to call in. Also, I've invited our friend Julia Toriansky, a past guest, to come on. She is one of the activists that is currently at the trial. Well, it's not in session at the moment, and she's been with other demonstrators that are supporting Ross and trying to inform the jurors that they have the ability to nullify these ridiculous laws. And so, back to the Silk Road here. I actually had an account on Silk Road. I was experimenting with the Tor browser, and in that Onion architecture, and playing around in the deep web, and I found my way to the Silk Road and went down it, and I was utterly amazed with what I found there. I mean, it was kind of like walking down a back street in Bangkok or something like that. And I've been to Bangkok, so I know. And pretty much everything is available on there. It's a true agorist website. Well, it doesn't exist anymore.
Actually, that particular one
that version of it, yeah. yes, is gone. But I set up an account, and with the account, you also you could fund your account with some Bitcoin so that you could do transactions, and pretty much anything's available on there. I mean, if you wanted something, you could buy it. If you wanted, some kush, you could order it. I mean, just about every variety of weed was available on there, and other drugs were available on there. And it wasn't just drugs. I mean, there were books and art and all kinds of things. It was like Craigslist and Amazon without limitations. And I never purchased anything through there. I didn't have any Bitcoin when Homeland Security confiscated the server. I didn't lose anything because I hadn't funded my account. And so, but anyways, I wanted to explore it and see what a true free market was all about. And I knew it wasn't going to last. That at some point, the government was going to step in and figure out how to crack it. And of course they did, you know, Homeland Security. I don't know what the heck they're doing messing around with this, because it really isn't securing the homeland, comrade. You're actually making us less secure by focusing your energies on things like this. So they I'm not quite sure how they trapped Ross. He was brought up on all kinds of charges. They're trying to say that he was the Dread Pirate Roberts. You know, and so that DPR was the admin for the Silk Road, and Ross is claiming that, or his defense is claiming that he set up this website as an economic experiment. And then others got involved, and they were doing their own thing. And then when the feds got hip to what was happening, it all got pinned on him.
There's a lot of the charges that led to their arrest and seizure of assets, and you know, shutting down the Silk Road, which was, you know, they seized over $3 million worth of Bitcoin. And by shutting down the Silk Road, it was probably worth somewhere between $13 and $36 million, maybe more than that even. It was a much better product than Facebook is, and look what Facebook sold for. It didn't have quite the number of people, or maybe it did. I have no idea. But that's why I don't know exactly what it was worth. But just based on the income that was being produced by it, I think that it had to be in that range at least. All that was taken from him, either as a, you know, theft of asset like the Bitcoins, or the taking in terms of destroying the product that was out there that was worth something. It was taken from him by RICO statutes, and so he suffered a huge loss, which was a violation of his Fourth Amendment rights.
And if I recall, they auctioned off his Bitcoin.
They did.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
watching very closely.
Yeah, so they got, you know, and a lot of us believe that they weren't going to be able to crack his Bitcoin wallet, but they were able to.
I don't think they got all of it.
And who knows if they got his Bitcoin booty or not?
They stole his computer, and they got a lot of his stuff that was, I guess, in hot storage instead of cold storage. But the cold storage stuff, I don't think they could get to it.
So I'm wondering if this case is causing the fall in the price of Bitcoin. I was checking in. I haven't checked it today, but I was on blockchain.info last night, and Bitcoin was under $200. It was fluctuating between like 193 and 197 Federal Reserve notes, and it had gone as low as 165 or 67.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of fell out of bed on Monday morning.
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at the Fed's case against Ross, you know, how do they prove that he was the Dread Pirate Roberts? You know, how do they do that? So they've got to trace the money to him, and this could be Bitcoin's weakness, you know, because the blockchain creates a public ledger. And since they've got the server and everything, they've got the key. They could see the transactions and where the money was coming and going, and if he was using a Tumblr to try to conceal where the funds were coming from, it's pretty easy to see a pattern in transactions and that. I've actually done some forensic accounting, so I'm kind of accustomed to looking for patterns and things like that. But the Bitcoin itself could be the undoing, and I'm wondering if that has contributed to the fall in the price lately. You know,
Who knows? It's the other thing to, you know, to,
or maybe the government's selling more Bitcoin.
Something. The other thing that I think we should consider is, you know, why is it a crime to he takes a small percentage of the things that are no different than a garage sale item, you know, someone exchanging some art, someone else, it's a voluntary exchange is not illegal material that's being exchanged. There's no copyright violations or intellectual property things, or and it's just something that's being exchanged, and it's like a Craigslist purchase, and he gets a small percentage of it, and that was most of his income. He was making about $20,000 a week. Mm-hmm. And I just, and yeah, some of the transactions involve drugs. Big deal. I mean, that's something else. I don't agree with that being illegal either. If you know it, it really have to think that there. I know that some of the people listening to this radio consider themselves to be constitutionalists. Well, I just wonder if you are constitutional enough to stand up for Ross Ulbricht, because his Fourth Amendment rights were just destroyed. His Fifth Amendment rights were destroyed. His Sixth Amendment right has been destroyed. The Sixth Amendment, by the way, is the one which says you shall not be. Let's see. It's about cruel and unusual punishment, and so I think being locked away in solitary confinement for 18 months awaiting trial is cruel and unusual punishment. His Eighth Amendment right was completely destroyed. It says excessive bail shall not be required, no excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment. Oh, that was the Eighth Amendment. The Sixth Amendment is about the speedy trial, and he didn't get a speedy trial. And so he had. So you guys that are constitutionalists, I want you to know that if this man is convicted, you no longer have those rights either. They're gone. This is a court. The way the Supreme Court works, the way our court system works in this country, is that every case sets a precedent for the following cases, and they don't like to reverse themselves because it, you know, people they want to look good in history books or something. I don't know how that goes, but you know, even if they're wrong, they try and continue that precedent. So they have it becomes more and more contrived and convoluted as time goes on. But truthfully, if you believe that we could live in a limited government setting, which I don't, but some of you do, and heck, I would love to go back to the way it was when I was born. In fact, maybe even go back to the way it was in the 1840s, where the government really was limited by the powers of the states. But you know, and that would be under that constitution. That would be a tremendous improvement on our life today. But I really think the better thing would be to have no government at all. But that's, you know, we'll see how that works out. I would certainly not turn down the chance to, you know, wipe out a lot of the tyranny that's present today. But going back to this, though, if you are a constitutionalist and you believe that the Constitution is a legitimate thing, and I think that it was, for its time, was the greatest document that had ever been written. They just missed a couple things, and it's caused, these loopholes have caused some problems. But you need to stand up for Ross Ulbricht, because this is like Russell Means said, if one man isn't free, I'm not free. Well, it's the same thing with this. If one man's constitutional rights have been denied, that means yours are too, because this is a precedent, and they will, when they decide, if you're doing anything that they don't like, if you're standing up for, you're starting to make waves and you're starting to make progress with, you're protesting against abortions, or you're trying to form a gun club, and you're getting people all excited about gun rights and things like that, they will find a way to come and get you, and they'll just take everything you have and destroy your life, put you in prison the rest of your life. And there's nothing to stop them anymore. So this is an important trial just for those reasons. It's also, it could be the end of the internet. And let's go into that a little bit, Drew.
Yep. Well, this could be the end of the free internet. It's like the example that you gave the other day. You know, if two people come into your restaurant, let's say you own a coffee shop, and two people come in, order some cups of coffee, and they're having a discussion, you know, in a booth or something, and say they do something that's illegal, in quotes, you know, so they exchange drugs or some other thing let's say something that, you know, it's murder for hire or whatever.
Yeah, one guy slips the guy that envelope.
Yeah, you don't know
the name on it.
and then you're guilty. You know, they say that you did it, You facilitated it.
That's right.
You're a party to it, and then you're arrested and you're tried. That's what's happening with Ross right now. You know, they're not saying that Ross actually had drugs and was shipping out drugs. And also he was brought up on some trumped up charges. There was some a murder for hire scheme that probably didn't happen.
It was something between Dread Pirate Roberts and somebody else. And so we don't know if it was like a spoof. We don't know who, because there may have been many people that assumed that name as administrator.
Well, of course.
Any one of many people.
You look at our Facebook page.
Yeah.
How many people post as Double Cross Radio on our Facebook? I mean, there's quite a few. We try to put our initials after our post to identify ourselves, but it doesn't always happen. And I'm administrator on piles of other sites.
Yeah.
There's on Facebook. And so it's going to be the same with Silk Road. I'm sure you could have several admins that are Dread Pirate Roberts, but that's the whole point of the Dread Pirate Roberts.
That's right, and they eventually dropped those charges, but those were the charges that let them into the door on kind of a fishing expedition, I think, and enable them to seize all his assets. Is even if they weren't true, that some judge, I don't know if this is a federal case and you get a federal judge to kind of a rubber stamp or whatever.
He's pretty much, I mean, what's the conviction rate in a federal court?
About 98%.
Yeah, I mean, he's screwed. And then you've got the protesters that are pushing for jury nullification, and they're handing out flyers and holding up signs and all this kind of stuff and trying to reach the jurors. But most of the jurors aren't really receptive to this. They're not reading the flyers. They're throwing them in the trash. That they're really not paying attention to this, you know. And the judge is trying to get them to not pay attention to the demonstrators. And this is another problem too, is that where you've got the activists that are pushing towards jury nullification, the judge is leaning in the direction of having an anonymous jury, and this really poses a problem with this case, because typically anonymous juries are used in trials where you've got like drug kingpins, you know, where the jurors could be threatened or killed or something like that, and so you have anonymous jurors. But
it also was a feature of the Star Chamber.
Exactly. So this doesn't bode well for Ross. If the activists that are pushing for jury nullification and are trying to inform the jurors are they might be doing more harm than good for Ross. If the defense is not going to want to have an anonymous jury, it's not going to put Ross in a good light. It's going to make the public think of him as a drug kingpin, and this is not going to work out well. So
yeah, you know, they've already put this. They started out before they did anything else is they tried to pin him to a murder, which we don't even know if it even happened. But plotting a murder is still a crime. But we don't even know if that was him. I mean, but they made it seem as though it was him. So that I think that's one of the reasons that nobody in media wants to touch this, because it makes them come out like they're supporting, gangland hits and stuff. And we don't even know if that was real. Could have been the government that did that. They could have got on the site, hacked the site, got on. I don't know if they're possible. They could, but these guys have, pretty smart brains working on their side too. They could have planted evidence by putting in those kind of statements in their back and forth conversation on the Silk Road stuff, and used that own conversation that they planted as the evidence that they needed to get an arrest warrant and go get him.
Right.
I don't know. It's possible. I don't trust anything this government does. They are totally corrupt.
And this will be used. This will be used to stifle free speech on the internet. This will be used to pressure ISPs and web hosts and website owners and all this stuff to lock things down, lock down free speech. Nobody's going to want to stick their neck out, because everybody's going to be accountable for things. And it looks like we have a call coming in.
Oh, cool.
You want me to bring this in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, caller. Welcome to Double Cross Radio.
Hey, Drew and Chuck. This is Vince. How you guys doing?
Hey, Vincent. What's up, man?
Vincent, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed you guys, man. Awesome, awesome, all the time. I was kind of amusing here. I was reading some of this Rolling Stones article and listening to you guys. And I guess they were going to get some fake IDs and get more servers and stuff like that. But kind of just rolled a thought through my brain was that if anybody was to ever redo something like this, they started out, you know, with, I guess, assumed names or whatever like that and left no trail. And I posted a little bit earlier a quote from him about, you know, anything you can do outside the system, you know, and we shut down the state. And I pulled that out of here also. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, I've been hearing about, you know, for some time about the Silk Road, but really never took a lot of notice to it. But, definitely ideas of thought, you know, and then how the state, you know, comes along with, like you say, to kill you, you know. If you do not comply, you'll die. So it's terrible that people don't realize. And I was listening to Al Anthony again for the third time this week, the same broadcast. So, and I always get a little bit more every time. I could probably listen to the same episode 15 times and learn a little bit each time. But the state of being that this natural man, you know, in a sense that we're outside this jurisdiction that they claim over us. And until we can all do at least a little bit to what we have ability to do, and when enough people can do that little bit, whatever it may be, eventually we can tip this. And so I'm not advocating just for the purpose of I'm not committing any conspiracy here and telling anybody to do anything. I'm just saying that an idea and thought is that we need to all do something, though, that makes the world better. And to expose this illegality of this this governance that claims jurisdiction of us and ownership of each and every one of us, we need to definitely change that. And by way of thinking, and also to realize that we all have a little different understanding, of course, and just because we don't have the same understanding doesn't mean that we have to be at odds with one another. And always keep in mind that people resist, and any time we want to communicate these thoughts and ideas, I think it's important to be gentle with people who are not, you know, on the inside of knowing some of the things that we may know and agree about.
But yeah, anyway, exactly, Vince. I agree, and this is really the time to start digging in and resisting the system and really pushing hard against it. And so many people are afraid. They're afraid of the system. They're afraid to resist it. They're afraid to stick their neck out. And you know, it's like that saying. What's that saying where the nail that sticks up gets hit the hardest with the hammer? Something to that effect. Yeah, I don't know.
Any of you who have ever played whack-a-mole, you understand the concept.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that it is, you know, people are encouraged to not be the nail that gets hit by the hammer. You know, don't stand out. But the thing is that it takes a lot of nails well hammered to create a sound structure. So stand out, you know. Be that nail that gets hit with the hammer. You know, if we all do it, we could build something great here.
Yeah. I also just want to read a quote from one of his posts he did in LinkedIn. He said, he was talking about he had shifted his goals. This actually, he had stopped his science pursuits. He says, "Now my goals have shifted. I want to use economic theory as a means to abolish the use of coercion and aggression amongst mankind. Just as slavery has been abolished most everywhere, I believe violence, coercion, and all forms of force by one person over another can come to an end. The most widespread and systematic use of force is amongst institutions and governments, so this is my current point of effort. The best way to change a government is to change the minds of the governed. However, To that end, I am creating an economic simulation, to give people a firsthand experience of what it would be like to live in a world without the systematic use of force. That was the Silk Road. And I think, as Drew, you know, could tell you, that there was no force. It was everything. There was a voluntary action. So there's no
absolutely
victim.
No victim, no crime. You know, as is the case with most people in prison right now.
Absolutely, and they force you in every aspect of life. This corporation, this machine, that we're all just you know, if you're squeaky, you get the oil. So you know, we need to be all these well oiled gears in this machine. You know, this is the idea, and so you have to conform, you have to turn, and you can't you know, roll at your own pace, because then you wouldn't be, you know, contributing to this machine. So that means you can't have the choice of, you can only treat cancer by the, you know, accepted medical conspiracy, that is the cartel, how they force you with the radiation or chemotherapy and the you know, the cutting and so forth and burning and poisoning. So just one example, you know, it's just every aspect of life, the machine, the government says you will comply or die. I've used the reference before that if you planted a bush in your front yard and they come along, that's, of course, they'd send an inspector by and cite you, and eventually, you know, you will either be kidnapped or you will be killed. But you will pay one way and you will comply. And, you know,
I'd rather die than comply. So, you know, I mean, you're going to die anyway. It's a given.
You know, that's what we did out at Bundy's there in right. Bunkerville. And people that were there, they didn't go there to go kill anybody. I mean, there were some people certainly that, you know, the deep psyche would have hoped for that to happen. But there was enough good people there that we were all watching, you know, for anybody odd like that to stand out. That people didn't go there to, you know, take up arms against the government. They came there with their arms to stand in the gap between this government that just continuously is going too far. And enough people said, you know what, piss on that. You're gonna have to give accountability. And if you're gonna do some atrocious act again, like what happened in several places, I guess most famously, of course, the Waco and Ruby Ridge, but the people, individuals, came from all parts of the country and said, no more. Where's the complicity among the public? But most people would give a crap, you know, about something like that. And just the system is so ingrained in even each and every one of us. You know, we all are, in fact, a part of it in one way or another as well. But as we say, to withdraw where we can to make change is what our mission needs to be. And there's so many great different groups of people, from the chemtrail activists and so on, that are really knuckling down and saying, look, man, we're going to get the word out there. They're putting billboards up. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. This is nothing new. Mm-hmm. And I come back around, back in about 2011, when I discovered internet radio, and when I met JJ, it was like, wow, this is amazing. This is stuff that I was, like, people thought I was an idiot talking about 25 odd years ago and stuff. So we're in a great point in history. We have the chance to tip it in our favor and to make actual change and tear down this system and rebuild with what is possible. And that's a life without slavery and thievery. And being imposed in imprisonment in this system. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to jump out. Great talking with you guys and listening. And
Vince, it's always great to hear your voice.
Thank you, Vince.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later, man.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm gonna now tie in this, the words that Vincent was speaking and what we were leading up to together with last week's show a little bit. Last week, we are having all sorts of technical difficulties due to a brownouts in New York. If that lets you know that maybe our infrastructure is crumbling, you're probably right if you have that sense, because we were talking to some guy down in a little tiny town in Mexico. Well, it's not that small, but it's smaller than Medford. And And he had no technical problems at all. They never have power outages. They have a very up to date technology there. And here in the United States, we're having trouble keeping the lights on. So, but anyway, that was beside the point. The point was, I made a comment that in the corruption that you find in Mexico would be more like a a cop will pull you over for a violation that you may or may not have made on the road, and he'll just kind of shake you down for $20 or something. And I said that wasn't nearly as bad as what goes on in the United States. And I didn't word it very well, and it made it sound like I was approving of that. And I kind of was, but it wasn't really the point. The point was corruption is what we're looking at now, and what's happening to Ross Ulbricht. He could go to prison for the rest of his life for doing nothing. That's corruption. That's a high price to pay for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't do anything illegal. He didn't really even facilitate it. It just has a service, and people, you know, took advantage of something. And it's no more than the guy, as people at the post office are liable for someone who sends drugs through the mail. It's the same kind of thing. No one goes out and arrests the postmaster. Yep. You know, but it's the same crime. And that's why it's not even a crime. It's just, This will not just have an effect on the internet. It's going to have a chilling effect on all of society.
Yeah.
The only people who will ever get away with something are the corporations that can buy their way out of something.
But we see this already. You know, I'm thinking back to just a couple of years ago when we started the show. And, you know, and we were having discussions about what it was going to be about, and, you know, and what our position was going to be on things. And I was pushing for, you know, just full on secession, you know, from the USSA corporation. And, you know, and there were people that thought that was a pretty extreme position, but not really anymore. I mean, actually, there's a lot of people in our circle of secessionist movements grow across this USSA country,
And they're in different sizes and shapes, and they have different points of view and different points of emphasis. But they all basically say that they want to have more control over their own lives. So in varying degrees of freedom that they're trying to procure for themselves.
Yeah, but people are. People, I think, for the most part, are afraid. You know, they are afraid to challenge the system. They are afraid to speak out against it, especially publicly. You know, you and I have, you know, we've just completely disregarded that. You know, we say this on our mind all the time.
I think there's an old saying: "It's in for a penny, in for a pound." So once you've said it, you might as well go away, because there ain't no going back.
Right. Right. I've noticed that the more that we speak out, the more that others do too. It's like in the movies. We were watching it. There's always a scene in the movies, you know, where there's a group of people and somebody does something, and one person stands up and starts clapping, and then others join in, and then before you know it, you have a whole room of people clapping. And so you and I have been clapping now for several years, and here we are. We're just trying to clap louder and louder and louder and get more people to clap with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, soon we'll have a cacophony of clapping.
That would be good.
Yes.
That would be really good.
But people should be afraid of not doing anything. People should be afraid of not speaking out. You know, I'm going to read what's probably our favorite quote. I'm sure you're going to agree with me, Chuck, from Martin Niemöller.
Yeah.
"When the Nazis came for the communists, I remained silent. I was not a communist. When they locked up the social democrats, I remained silent. I was not a social democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent. I wasn't a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out." And that's our ethos right there. That's what the show has been about.
So I'm getting one of those Alex Jones moments. I just got chills. I'm serious.
Yeah,
I'm,
me too.
The truth.
Me too. That's what we've been all about, you know, is speaking out for those that need help that the system is going after. And that's what we're doing tonight. That's what this show is about tonight. We're speaking out for Ross. Free Ross.
Yeah, and I want to just in case you guys missed it, the point I was making is the tyranny we're living under in the United States is intolerable. And it isn't a cop pulling you over and shaking you down for $20. It's someone going to prison for the rest of his life for nothing. So I would much prefer to be shaken down for $20 every once in a while on a highway than to have to face this kind of tyranny on a daily basis for just speaking your mind, for having something that threatens the government because it's trying to show people they can be free. And it's nothing more serious than that. I just think that this is absolutely cannot stand.
No, it can't. And this is going to be the end. You know, if Ross is convicted, you know, we might not be here, you know, in a few weeks or months. We might not be able to.
If he's convicted and I was the person that owned this network, I would pull the plug the next day.
It's going to create a massive amount of risk for everybody.
Yeah, there's just no the person who runs this thing, Jules, she's an angel. She's an awesome person, but she makes no money on this, or if there is an income stream, it's very small and nothing compared to the risk she's taking. And so she would be foolish if this were to go down, because anybody who has a program that the government deems inoffensive will selectively enforce this on them. You won't ever see the postmaster being arrested. You will never see Eric Holder being arrested for Fast and Furious, where he obviously did commit a crime. You'll never see, you know, W or Cheney or Rumsfeld or Condoleezza Rice. You'll never see them being brought to trial for perjury and lying and cover-ups. You'll never see any of that. But the people that they want to put down, they'll find some way to just twist the law and put you in prison the rest of your life. They'll fake a crime and blame it on you.
Well, nope. There's so many laws. I mean, you're committing felonies all the time. I mean, just you go outside and you live your life, and you probably don't even know it, but you're breaking the law left and right because there's so many and they change all the time. You know, as soon as the year turns around, my mailbox fills up with crap and forms and junk from the government and wanting me to fill things out and send them money for junk just because I exist, and then you've got all the new laws you got to get up to speed on, you know, and then there's just the arbitrary increases in things like property taxes. And I'm on a total rant right now, and I don't mean to get off the subject, but
this is related. It's totally related.
Well, it's really getting out of hand. And you take like our property taxes that are just like totally out of control in Jackson County, Oregon. They're just like blasting off. They went off like 17% last year. And you look at it and you're going, oh, it's like most of it is for the schools. And I don't have any kids. And even if I had kids, I wouldn't put them in these schools.
They're not really schools. They're indoctrination centers.
Right. And as an employer, they don't crank out useful employees. So I'm not interested in that. The best person I've ever had work for me was actually a high school dropout. You know, she's excellent. You know, but you look at what's going on right now, you know, with the schools in Jackson County, and I'm totally getting off the subject here, I'm sorry, but they've got a new superintendent now who's stirring things up and he's reorganizing things, right? But you look at – so he's appointed a few new key people, and these people make bazillions of dollars. You know, they get paid like $130,000, $170,000 a year for some paper-pushing position. In the school district of all things, they create nothing except for mindless drones that are of no use in the workforce. I'm on a rant here. I'm sorry, but
keep
but
going.
I've been really upset about this, and we pay for this, and I can't believe the salaries these people get. And if you even look at some of the other positions, you know, you look at the planners, and or even you know, Medford, Oregon, here where we are, you know, they hired hired an emergency manager, you know, like somebody who's supposed to, you know, think of all the crazy, horrible things that might happen and plan drills and stuff so that they could have their own false flags.
They even plan in case there's an alien invasion of outer space. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
They have all sorts of contingencies that they take. This is the most ridiculous waste of time and money I've ever seen. It's like that stuff would even be followed. Who knows what it's going to be like when there's emergency? That's why they're called emergencies. We don't know what to do.
And you don't want to look to the government for help, for crying out loud. I mean, look at what happened during Superstorm Sandy and Katrina, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, was it Superstorm Sandy? FEMA closed due to inclement weather.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it was occupied. It was actually helping people. You know,
mm-hmm.
We don't need government. Get this through your heads, you guys. We don't need government.
And while we're on the thing about government, I want to remind everybody that the number one distributor of unlicensed drugs, I'm not going to call them illegal, like I said, unlicensed drugs in the United States, is a government organization called the CIA. And it's well documented in Gary Webb's book, when he was still working at the San Jose Mercury Times. And then the movie that just came out called Kill the Messenger was about his life. And they actually, because he was so dangerous, he was coming out with even more scathing investigative report, they killed him. They assassinated him and called it a suicide. I don't know how you shoot yourself twice in the head. Then they...
I guess the rigor mortis set in on the trigger.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I've shot a gun, and I don't really know I could hang on to it after, you know, holding it at your head and shooting it. I think it would blast out of your hand at the kickback. I just don't know how you do that. It wasn't in his mouth; it was in the side. It's unbelievable. It's as bad as the Vincent Foster death back in the Clinton administration. And some of you are too young to remember that, but that one also makes no sense at all. This totally corrupt government. But I think that the CIA distribution of drugs, I think that their income stream, they use all that money they get from drugs to fund all their off-budget stuff. It's all the things that they're doing that are illegal. They can't get congressional approval for it, so they run drugs to finance all that stuff. And I think that the Silk Road was really cutting into their income stream. And so they had to do something about it, so they found a way to phony up some charges against him and put him away.
Well, that's totally.
That's my conspiracy theory. I have no proof, but that's the most plausible theory I've heard.
Yeah, but you don't have to go. You don't have to look too far to find any proof of that thing. I mean, you go on Bloomberg, at Bloomberg News, and just do a little quick search and on Bank of America and Wachovia and Wells Fargo were actually fined for laundering money for drug cartels. And in this corporatocracy, they're involved in the government, and this whole thing, I mean, maybe somebody actually did their job to blow the whistle on the banksters, but it was probably just more a cover, and they paid a fine, and that was that. And then you see opium production in Afghanistan is higher than ever.
Yeah,
you know, and coincidentally, you see an increase in heroin use in the USSA, so. You know, that's what this stuff is all about. This is just crony people doing their business, you know, and the best way to make a bunch of money is to make something illegal and then engage in the trade of the thing that's illegal. You know, if you don't get it, watch Boardwalk Empire, you know, that Steve Buscemi HBO thing back when I had cable, I used to watch it. But that's a classic example of how everything works in the world.
Yeah, and so anyway, we're not going to have a lot of time to talk about our economic stuff, and that's okay, because this for all you people out there listening, it's a podcast or on YouTube or if you're listening live right now, this is probably the most important thing that's going to affect your lives that's going to happen this year. And maybe in the next 10 years it might be the most important thing, because this is going to have a drastic effect on everybody's freedom in this country, and maybe worldwide. It could reach beyond the borders here. If you may not be able to go anywhere and hide, and they'll still find you and get you.
No, there's no way out of this. You know, if you leave the country, there's going to be some point where either that country throws you out because you're an American, and the USSA is threatening that country, or they just say, you know, send us your Americans. You know, you're not safe if you move to another country, and especially, you know, if you're a gringo, it's probably not a good idea. I mean, we're looking at a global economic slowdown right now, and things are getting ugly in certain places. And so, oh, we've got another caller coming in here. I recognize this number. Hey, caller, welcome to Double Cross Radio.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's up?
Are you live or live?
We are live, and this is Gary Lake, if I recognize the number.
And you can turn down the radio in the background, and you'll be...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that'll work great. How you doing, Gary?
So, are you guys live, or I mean, is there a delay, or what?
We're live.
We're live.
It's just got a little delay.
There's probably a 30-second delay.
Oh, okay. Let me know when we're on.
We're on. Watch what you say.
Great message tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
I listen every chance I can, and I got people listening all over the place because you guys you tell it the way it is. I just want to suggest that we the people have an opportunity to make a change, and we do it in our backyards, and you know what I'm talking about. And you guys rock it. I mean, you really put it out there. You're on topic. You're telling the truth. And the bottom line is there's opportunities for the people to make their vote count. And I think you guys know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, people stepping up and saying, hey, we don't recognize this USSA corporation, and we're restoring the republic, and we're going to operate under a constitutional republic, you know, if that's what people want to do. You know, or maybe some people say, oh, we don't even want that. You know, we want a total voluntary society. You know, maybe some people want that, and they could organize and they could create that sort of thing. But I do think, unfortunately, we have to carve out boundaries, unfortunately, in order to say, okay, statist, do not aggress against us. If you aggress against us within our boundary, there's going to be trouble. So don't try to impose your collectivist views on us and take our property and our labor from us. And, you know, and as long as people recognize that, like I'm totally cool. Like I have friends that are anarcho-communists. Well, okay. Well, I don't think that'll completely work. But if you set up a little community and you want to be ANCOMs, I'm not going to stop you as long as you don't try to confiscate my property.
And yeah, everybody should have the ability to pursue their own happiness.
I'm not against, you know, people doing little experiments and stuff. We saw this sort of thing happen. You know, in the 1960s, 1970s, I was just reading an article about this in Mother Earth News. My little brother, Nate, gave me a subscription to Mother Earth News, and along with that came a little USB flash drive with every single issue going back to 1970. And I was looking at some of the very first issues, and there was an article written by somebody who had engaged in an anarcho-communist experiment that failed. And it failed because people really didn't have privacy. You know, there was no respect really for property, and people wanted, you know, basically they just wanted some personal downtime. And another thing too is that if things weren't working right, people didn't have the courage to confront one another to say, hey, this doesn't work for me. Can we do something different? And it failed and people went their own ways. I have an uncle who did something similar and you know, and that failed too. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I was going to say, we're kicking down to the fantastic Jordan Page, the voice of the Republic. He's going to be singing here soon.
What?
But I just want,
For reals? Wow.
The outro. No. I'm talking about you guys.
Oh, I thought we had something new going on here. Sorry.
Oh, well, I can't tell you that officially yet. God, you're always outing me on the air, man. So, you know, here's the deal. You guys are the Wolverines of Red Dawn Radio, and that's where it's at. And, you know, for the people that haven't seen that movie, I'm not talking about the new one. I'm talking about the original
one.
Yes. You guys got it going on. And I just, I listened to your whole show tonight, and I have some insights. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Ross, and I got friends of mine that are like with Ross, like every day during these trials and stuff. And I just want to say you guys are hooked in, and it's weird listening to the pulse of America and probably the universe, but, you know, right here locally. And I love it. I adore you guys. And I just, you know, had to come on and just let you know, you guys are rocking it.
Thank you, Gary.
Matt, don't thank me. It's all you.
I got chills again.
Well, we're going to have to find you a Wolverine parka.
Oh, no.
How about a cougar parka? Oh, sorry.
Settle down.
I know.
I'm going to simmer down now for everybody. We're just going to leave it at that.
Excellent. We're looking forward to getting on your show.
Okay. Rarely happens with me when someone's speaking something that I know as really has a lot of truth for my life. That's when I get those chills, and that's and so when yeah. when you're, I really appreciate your words. Thanks.
Hey, we're all on the same team. So yeah, this is cool. I won't take up your time. I know you guys are gonna out. So anyhow, man, thanks a lot.
I'll talk to you later.
From Sissy County.
Good night, Gary. Thanks.
Yeah, and so we're winding down. The music's going to start pretty soon. I just want you guys to know that if Ross Ulbricht goes to prison for any amount of time, and the fact that he's been 18 months in prison without a trial is just an injustice in itself. But if he goes to prison, we better start hunkering down, because we're going to have to start. You better start finding like-minded people, forming communities of resistance, and starting up committees of correspondence, and the whole bit.
Yeah. You've been listening to Double Cross Radio on UCY.TV. See you next week.